your way. This shot, for example, this scene, you could have had a close-up of Kane's face when he came through the window. Then you could cut to a close-up scene, cut to a close-up of the octopus's feet, or cut to a two-shot. Well, it doesn't do that. You hold it all in one shot for a long time. Why? All right. Two answers to that question. First of all, this is what Wells said, and this is a quote that we don't have as a reading, but I think it's a very useful one, in which he talks about why he uses deep focus in the beginning. First, the spectator may choose what he wants to see. I don't like to force it. The spectator may choose what he wants to see. In effect, I don't like to force it. Now, by forcing it, of course, he means he doesn't like to break it down into a lot of close-ups. There are fewer close-ups in this film than any other film is going to see. Sure, there are important close-ups that I've already mentioned, like the notion that has been done to be close to the sled, events, and stuff. Sure. We find important close-ups, but believe me, there are few. So in this shot, there are no close-ups. In the scene in the cabin, the scene in the fire office, no close-ups. He says he wants you, the spectator, to be able to decide what you want to look at. He wants you to be active. He doesn't want to show you what to look at exactly. Close-ups, he wants to give you some freedom to let your eye roam through the composition and see what you want to see. Now, Tolan, the director of photography, has another explanation. In Tolan's article, a really great article that he wrote called How I Broke the Rules of Citizen Kane, he says the purpose of the deep focus cinematography in Kane is to create greater realism. Now, sure, and this is a small screen, a 4x3 screen. It's not a color image. It's not sure. It's not the kind of naturalism that we expect in a lot of